Hi, you are listening to Record of Change. My name is An Hui Chun, and I am your host for this episode. Record of Change features the stories of individuals across the world about how the COVID-19 pandemic has shaped and affected their lives. We listen to our interviewees at several points in time, as we want to know about how their lives are changing. I am speaking to you from Duisburg, Germany, where people are entering the third month of lockdown with even stricter regulations. In this episode, we will meet and get to know Karina Rother, a German freelance journalist based in Taipei, Taiwan. Unlike the majority of the world, Taiwan is one of the few places where the COVID-19 pandemic has been kept well under control. The infected number remains below 1,000, and the Taiwanese daily life mostly has gone back to its pre-COVID pace. Being a foreigner living in Taiwan during this time gives Karina a safe and assuring feeling, which makes her cultivate her sense of belonging in Taiwan more. Even though the pandemic has not affected Karina's daily life in Taiwan that much, it did have an impact on her personal life. Karina has to delay her wedding, which was supposed to take place in the summer of 2020 in Germany. And I was supposed to be one of the guests in her important life events. Now she doesn't know when it could realistically take place. Besides, Karina's family is in Germany, where the COVID-19 situation is very different to where she lives.
I am a journalist based in Taipei. I'm originally from Germany, and I've been living here for 4.5 years now, and basically experienced the entire corona pandemic while in Taiwan. I haven't really left the country at all since the pandemic started developing. I was working for a Taiwanese radio station until the end of last year, and this year I've just started my career as a freelance journalist.
So you experienced a job change during the pandemic time?
I did.
But this wasn't because of the pandemic itself, right? Because I heard that the situations in Taiwan is not that serious. So this is much more a matter of personal choice.
It's a matter of personal choice. I would say it has to do with the pandemic in that I sort of got my foot in the door in freelance reporting for German media because Taiwan's handling of the corona pandemic has sort of pushed Taiwan a little bit into the center of international attention. And so I collaborated with lots of media outlets in Germany in reporting on what Taiwan has been doing and how things are going in Taiwan. And so I sort of built up these contacts that now are helping me to take that step and become a freelancer.
So tell us a little bit about how Taiwan has been handling the situation. We all know that it's going pretty well there. Could you elaborate on it?
I would say Taiwan was the first place in the whole world to understand the severity of the news coming out of China. Already in December 2019, they alerted the WHO and their own health authorities on irregular reportings in like messaging boards in Wuhan of cases of pneumonia. And then in mid-January 2020, they started keeping records of passengers coming in from China and started keeping records of travel histories of people coming in. And then basically before Chinese New Year, so at the end of January, they already closed off their borders to travelers from China. And then in February and March, they experienced sort of a small surge in virus cases in Taiwan that had been brought in by sort of these last waves coming in and people returning for Chinese New Year. And it counted around 50 or so local cases of the virus. And actually, because of experience with the SARS pandemic in 2003 and because of other factors that made the Taiwanese government very well able to deal with the threat of a pandemic. For example, the prime minister back then was an immunologist, so this was sort of his field. And certain factors coming together that led to the fact that Taiwan just had a protocol in place of how to trace, how to prevent. And then by mid-March, it closed its borders basically to all travelers who didn't have a reason to be in Taiwan, who didn't have work permits, who didn't have residence permits. And it had not experienced any local transmissions since April and has just been counting cases basically of foreigners or returnees coming into Taiwan into the two-week quarantine that you have to undertake if you want to come into the country. And then if you have any health concerns, then you're tested for COVID. And so in total, Taiwan has counted around 800 cases. And lately, we've had a few spillovers from the quarantine process or from hospitals. Like there have been, if I'm not mistaken, 4 local transmission cases counted in December and January. But overall, the pandemic is under control in Taiwan.
Where did these locally transmitted cases come from?
One came from a pilot who was employed by a Taiwanese airline and flying between New Zealand, the US, and Taiwan, if I'm not mistaken. And for aircraft personnel, the quarantine times are lower. It's not 14 days. Back in 2020, it was 3 days for pilots and 5 days for flight attendants. So after 3 days of quarantine, the pilot met a local contact and was only tested and confirmed positive for COVID-19. Days after that, sort of failed to disclose his local contacts. The contact was traced down because his phone was seized and they found that she had been infected as well. And then this was days before Christmas. What happened then is that all the news stations and even at the entrance of my work, there were poster signs of where they had gone, on what date and what time span. And then you were asked as you were entering the building, have you been there? So there was a basically public awareness campaign to alert people to risk of infection. And since then, they have prolonged the quarantine stay for airline personnel to 7 days now.
This is a very interesting point for me because in Vietnam, the same thing happened with people who work in the airline industry. And then there was the same incidents with a flight attendant. The point being, in Vietnam, people also have been enjoying pretty relaxed atmosphere when things have been going, well, perceivably great for a long time. And then when such an incident happens that we have a locally transmitted case, people were angry. So there have been a lot of attacks or individual attacks on the people who got the disease transmitted in the local community. Did that happen in Taiwan as well with the case that you mentioned?
To be honest, that kind of media outlets, I don't think I follow so that I sort of know how the person was being discussed. What the CDC, Center for Disease Control, does is it releases quite personal information, I would say, from a German standpoint. Like we get the age range, so we know that the pilot was between 60 and 70 and male and from New Zealand, so not a Taiwanese national. We know that the woman he met was in her 30s, that she was a Taiwanese citizen. We know that they had intimate contact, whatever that means. And so it sort of got taken apart quite a bit, the case. And as a foreigner living in Taiwan, which is generally very friendly towards at least white people, there is racism in the society as well, but it's not directed at white Europeans and Americans and so on. I did notice a change in behavior towards me that was similar to when the pandemic started, that people would sort of move away a bit and put on their masks when they saw me and stuff like that. Like just sort of micro signs of a certain awareness of, okay, you're a foreigner and maybe you're being displayed as a threat in the media. Mm,
which is quite opposite to what you have just said as like a very foreign-friendly environment in Taiwan.
Yeah. I mean, no one said anything or was openly impolite or anything, but it was just sort of these outlier cases of you're going down a street and there may be more people there and people look at you and put on a mask, but that happens fairly rarely. But it has happened in March and it's happened again lately, but just rarely.
Yeah, but I think it is still very different to what other people have. For example, the Asian community in Europe or the US have experience at the very beginning of the pandemic. I'm not saying that it is not discriminatory behaviors, but there are different levels that people experience.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, overall, I am so fortunate to be in Taiwan in this time.
Mm.
I have barely felt any impact of the pandemic. We have relatively strict rules on where to wear masks, like in subways, buses, hospitals, places like that, supermarkets. But apart from that, we can travel within the country completely freely. My work has barely been impacted. There were maybe a few weeks. Our workplace was sort of going in shifts, like I was going in only 2 or 3 days and working the rest from home. But apart from that, nothing has really been disrupted. And I'm so grateful for that.
I read on the newspaper that there have been a lot of skepticisms about places that have been dealing with the pandemic pretty well. For example, Taiwan. There have been skepticisms about how long can Taiwan hold these situations, because the fact that the country has been dealing pretty well with the pandemic, they closed the border, a lot of limitations on people who wanting to enter the country. There have been a lot of people asking the question about how long can the country be closed.
That is a question that I ask myself as well, because obviously my family is at home in Germany. I want to be able to commute. I was going to have a wedding actually in Germany last year that I wasn't able to have because of, among other things, like restrictions on travel. I could have gone, but obviously I would have had to quarantine and stuff. So that is a big, big question. I think the problem is that there is a split now between the very, very few countries that have the realistic goal to keep a zero COVID policy in place. And Taiwan is one of them. Vietnam is one of them. Australia and New Zealand, I believe, are two of those. So they can, through the restriction of travel, basically control the pandemic situation within the country. And there are economic benefits to that. Like nothing had to close here. Production didn't have to be turned down. Consumption is where it was before the pandemic. And you don't have that in European countries where there are waves of infections that sort of slow down every sector of society at sort of certain intervals. And that's why I understand the criticism. I understand why experts for the economy will be like, you can't seal yourself off indefinitely. And COVID in certain ways is going to be around for a long time, even with vaccines. On the other hand, I can understand countries like Taiwan saying, yeah, but we don't want it and we benefit from zero COVID. It is a pain for travelers. It is a strain on certain industries, but I think for the internal economy of Taiwan and for public health, basically everything to do with the safety of the people and of the communities, it is a good policy.
And what is the conversations about vaccinations going on in Taiwan?
From what I'm understanding, it is fairly slow. They are saying we might be able to vaccinate by the end of the first quarter or the beginning of the second quarter of 2021. So by no means at the speed as the developed economies in the Western world that have been heavily hit by COVID are going. So when that reaches younger populations like myself, or when that reaches foreigners, that I do not know. And in terms of what kind of vaccines they are considering using, I know that Taiwan is trialing its own vaccine at the moment, but I know that they've also put down orders on vaccines developed outside.
I think it is partly because of the relaxing situations in the country that there is no too immediate needs for a vaccine.
Yeah.
And like in European countries, right, people basically have to rush to get vaccinations. That can somehow help improve the situation as soon as possible.
So obviously for me, thinking about when can I go to Europe? How will I have to quarantine? When can I meet friends from the UK, for example? It's not the best policy, but I understand that I'm a tiny minority within the country.
Mm.
And most people, yeah, just don't need it at the moment.
I see. So you mentioned that in 2020, you planned to have your wedding and then it was planned to happen in Germany. How did you deal with the fact that you have to delay your special event for a bit? And do you have any hope or ideas when would that be able to happen?
I still don't know. Personally, I've accepted it. It was because we're both based in Taiwan and with different nationalities and we wanted to hold it in Europe. The idea was we'll apply for it in February, March, and then we'll set the date for a July date. And then by March, basically the weeks we were finishing up our application, Germany went into lockdown, Taiwan closed its borders, things like that. So it's something you have to accept. And because my partner is from the UK and they're struggling with extra hard border closures, lockdowns, etc., it's not certain that we'll be able to hold it this summer. It's not certain how many people from like our very transnational friendship circle are actually going to be able to attend. It's something to accept and to deal with. To be honest, what I'm thinking about more now is the age of my grandparents and how much time I will be able to still spend with them
right.
in general while they're still around, since I haven't seen them for over a year.
And how old are they? Are they living in an elderly house?
Nope.
Or are they living at their own homes in Germany?
They're living at their own home. My mom is caring for them. She lives with them. My grandma is 89 and my grandpa is 92.
Wow.
He's in a wheelchair. He needs sort of physical care. And they have been managing quite well. They're just quite careful about going out. I mean, they didn't have massive trips. They just go to the supermarket and the pharmacy and the bank and the post office. And that's everything they have to deal with. But they belong to the sort of group in Germany that is quite critical of what Germans call Schulmedizin, so sort of scientific medicine. And they are not going to get vaccinated, which I find almost, I find it hilarious, but obviously very, very tragic, because it would reduce the risk so much and they could just be getting their vaccination tomorrow and I could just be on a plane in May and see them without having to worry about infecting them at all. But that's not the case.
Oh, wow. I was about to ask, has there been any news on their vaccination date? Because as of January 2021, there have been a lot of arrangement for elderly people to get vaccinated in Germany. And then I was thinking maybe they are going to get vaccinated soon, but that is not the case.
Yeah, that is not the case. My grandma says laughingly, because she's aware of how hilarious it is, but she always says, "Wir haben Angst vor den Spätfolgen," which means we're afraid of the late or latent consequences of the vaccine. So basically things that can happen years down the road that you don't know yet. I mean, those years down the road, she knows that they don't exist, but You can't fight with people who have their convictions, sadly.
Mm. And basically, they have made that decisions. And how does your family react with that?
They agree. I don't think that my mom is going to get the vaccine. I will try to talk to her more when I'm back in Germany because she is high risk as well. I mean, she is overweight. Mm. She's a smoker, things like that. So I do not want her to get the virus. But basically, I think what Germany... I know we're here to talk about Taiwan, but what Germany is struggling with in this time is you just have to accept people's political opinions, people's takes on science, and have to respect their freedom of choice, even if it doesn't serve public interest or public health.
It's the matter of personal decisions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I asked that question because you are living in an environment that is relatively relaxed and safe. But your parents, your grandparents, your brothers are living in Germany, and Germany is not doing very well in handling the pandemic. It seems to handle the pandemic pretty well at the earlier stage, but not now.
Yeah.
And you must feel pretty weird about it, right?
Yeah.
Or what would be the feeling that you would describe as you are having?
I understand that there are difficulties managing the pandemic because obviously Germany is not Taiwan, so it's so much harder to control the borders. And at the same time, there is a giant deficit in protocol for situations like that. I think that before COVID-19 hit Europe, pandemics were always something that happened elsewhere in the world, and they were sort of associated with developing nations. They were associated with Africa, with Asia. They were never something that really touched on like rich white Europeans. And that arrogance associated with that idea is sort of something that infuriates me and something that is one of the reasons why the pandemic is ravaging Europe at the moment. At the same time, I understand being here in Asia, being here in Taiwan, reading Chinese language news sources, we sort of saw an avalanche coming from China by mid-January. We were really aware of the fact that things were coming, and we were looking at Europe and being like, oh, they're not reacting. Why aren't they taking this seriously? That is something that I think you have to sort of accept and understand because of the distance to the events here. So Europe is just too far away to perceive it with the same immediacy that Taiwan has perceived the events in China as like a direct neighbor to the country.
Now let's move back to Taiwan a bit. You have talked about how your daily life in the country has not been affected that much. Could you tell us a little bit more about the daily life in Taiwan now?
Daily life in Taiwan now is fairly blissful. The International Taipei Book Fair is starting next week, 8 days from now. And that was one of the big events that had to be cancelled last year to prevent a further spread of the virus. It shows you how much that paid off, the fact that we can have book fairs, we can go to concerts, we can have international artists travel to Taiwan, take upon them the 2 weeks of quarantine just to perform here. Everyday life is very unaffected. I go to the markets in the morning, I go to the hospital when I need to, people go to schools. It's not a concern. And I think the only thing, like the mask wearing, is definitely visible. It's omnipresent. And you have a daily update from the Center for Disease Control, and they tell you exactly how many imported infections, how many local transmissions, which for the better part of the last year has been zero. And sometimes they tell you like we're going to loosen restrictions here or tighten restrictions there, things like that. But apart from that, the pandemic is something that's behind us. Like Taiwan has actually in June last year already declared itself a post-pandemic society and undertaken steps to reinvigorate consumption, to make people go out again, participate in events again, reinvigorate artist performance, things like that, because obviously these sectors have suffered greatly during the 2 or 3 months of more severe restrictions. And people travel in the country. It's the best time for traveling right now because none of the international tourists, especially from China, are here. So everything's empty and everything's very sort of beautiful and serene. And it's a good time.
Yeah, I am very envy with that life. Last month in Germany, people have a very different Christmas. Social interactions are limited and a lot of family members decided not to go back home. And I also have heard of incidents that family members who went back home and then transferred the virus to other family members. That is very sad. Now, it is less than 1 month away from the Lunar New Year, but I guess that is not going to be the case in Taiwan at all, right? It's going to be a very normal Lunar New Year, I guess.
For the most part, I would say there are lots of overseas Taiwanese in the US and China and other parts of the world that are having difficulties returning because for the 14 days quarantine, they can't actually be with their families. Like you need to have either a designated hotel room that you don't leave for 14 days, or you have to stay in a house where you have your own bedroom and your own bathroom and you don't get into close proximity with anyone else who lives in that space. And so a lot of people have been saying we can't take time off for that long, especially if due to travel rules from other countries, we have to quarantine again when we get back. Because oftentimes that is the big problem of Taiwan. Taiwan isn't always perceived as its own entity by bodies like the WHO, because China obviously claims Taiwan as part of its territory, even though Taiwan is a sovereign democratic state. But so sometimes countries like Germany or the US, I don't know what the rules are at the moment, but sometimes they lump Taiwan in with China and say that it's a high-risk area or that you need to quarantine or whatever. And so for some people, that would mean 4 weeks in quarantine in total. And so people abroad can't return, can't be with their loved ones, but everyone else, I'm sure, will be celebrating.
The same happened to me as well. For now, the only way that I can go back to Vietnam is to go on one of the repatriation flights. I'm going to have to be quarantined in a designated quarantine zone. Or if I have the financial resource, I can also quarantine myself in one of the designated hotel rooms. But the period of time would be 2 weeks. And if I go back to Germany, the quarantine time would be the same.
Yeah.
So it is too much of a time period that you have to take. It is a pretty difficult situation. This is going to be my second Lunar New Year that I'm not home. Last year, I was in Japan doing fieldwork, and then I thought, oh, well, I'm just going to go back in 2021 or I'm going to go back in a few months. Of course, that happened when everything was so new, and then we never expect that this is going to be this long.
Yeah, I'm sort of extending my horizon as I go along, like, okay, it's not going to be normal by summer 2021. It's not going to be normal by winter. If we even ever get back that ease in international travel, that's something that might never be fully normalized again.
Yeah.
Which has its positives as well, right? Less emissions.
On the environment side. But on a lot of other sides, I don't know how should I feel about it. But talking about changes, what would you say would be the biggest changes in your life throughout the pandemic? Everyone have been affected in one way or another by the pandemic. And because of that, there have been a lot of personal changes. And what would be your biggest personal changes?
I think on a very personal level, the pandemic has sort of rooted me more in Taiwan. I have made peace or accepted the fact that this is fully my home. I think you, as someone who travels from country to country, will know what it's like to sort of have the split identity and be always thinking about the next place you're going to or about the home you're returning to. And so having to accept that I'm not returning home for at least a year has given me an opportunity to engage with my new home or my chosen home in a way that I didn't have before. And I think I draw much more comfort, social warmth, everyday joy out of being in Taiwan and having fully accepted that I am fully here now. But obviously, on a wider scale, I've had professional opportunities because of the pandemic, but I'm very aware that that is not the case for most people in the world. I'm quite fortunate that way. And I have become acutely aware of the sort of ruptures within German society, especially in terms of political stance, in terms of willingness to make personal sacrifices for the benefit of the public interest, I think is something we hadn't thought about in the same terms before the pandemic happened.
I think you mentioned a very interesting point about the sense of belongings in the place that you live, because it is going to be very different case by case in the social context as well. For example, I feel very comfortable living in Germany before, but the way the pandemic unfolds in Germany really make me question whether that feeling's going to last or not. I think it is a very nice feeling that you know that, okay, you have a strong sense of belongings in Taiwan and you are comfortable making it your home.
Yeah.
And talking about the future a little bit, what would be your future plans and how do you see your future plans in conjunction with the pandemic?
It's hard to see them in conjunction with the pandemic because for the time that I am in Taiwan, it really doesn't play a big role. It only affects the question of, can I go home and for how long? Like, there are professional trainings that I would like to participate in Germany that are more difficult to arrange because of the pandemic, things like that. But apart from that, I'm just going to be staying put here for another handful of years for sure. I benefit greatly from my time here for both in terms of language skills, professional skills, developing as a journalist, and just my perspective is to stay in Taiwan and to work on multimedia projects and hopefully eventually return to Germany that is not completely out of reach of the Germany that I left 5 years ago. So hopefully return to a functioning democracy that has the public's best interest at the heart of its policies and that is not too divided over populist issues.
Do you think, is there any possible change or big change in Taiwan in the next few months? Do you think if stuff is going to still be the same or there would be further development?
I read a headline today from Australia that said we're not going to fully open our borders until the end of 2021. So I think for Taiwan, the case is quite similar. I believe that at least for this year, strict border policies will be in place. Air travel and tourism industries will continue to suffer. But apart from that, the society will continue to be fairly safe, hopefully, and fairly well protected from pandemic threats.
And with your career trajectories, you are now a freelance journalist. And part of your job, as you have shared with us, is that you correspond with German news agencies and report about how Taiwan has been dealing with the pandemic Do you see any change in the nature of the jobs when there is no change in how Taiwan is going to handle the pandemic?
I would say that the interest in Taiwan's efforts to control COVID has already gone down dramatically. Like, the new interests lie in how tensions with China unfold, how the new US government is going to treat Taiwan, things like that. So the nature of the job is that the focal points are always shifting, and I will just move along with the shifting focal points, but Taiwan is definitely not always relevant and interesting to German audiences, as sad as that is from my perspective. But I will just do my best to sort of keep up with the changing.
This was episode 3 of our third season with Karina Rother in Taiwan. We hope you enjoy listening to it. Stay tuned for the next episode, in which we will listen to the story of Catherine, a transportation engineer in Washington, D.C., in the U.S., who has been volunteering at a COVID testing site since last June. You can catch up with the past episodes from the series by following us on your favorite podcast app. If you like what you hear, please leave a review and subscribe to our feed. For more information on this and future series, please visit our website at recordofchain.com and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. If you like to support Record of Change, please consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters, and we would be honored to bring you more stories and narratives. You'll receive early access to new episodes, bonus contents like behind-the-scenes insights from the Record of Change team, and the opportunity to pitch questions for our interviews, alongside helping us to make the show. Even the smallest level of support would be a great boost as we strive to document the impact of COVID-19 on communities throughout the world. This podcast is implemented with and by members of the Bosch Alumni Network, a community that brings together former and current fellows, grantees, and staff members of the Robert Bosch Stiftung and its partners.